Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
So Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry and the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. With the Lord's help, I'd like to speak to us this morning on the body of Christ. Jesus, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given me today to speak to your people. Use me as a vessel this morning. Guide my thoughts. Guide my words. Let your word go forth and fall on good ground, Lord. Let it take root to grow, bear fruit. Let it be effectual in our lives today. I worship your holy name. I give you thanks. I give you the glory and I give you the honor. In Jesus' name, I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. Jesus, I praise your holy name. So going through this, I'm going to be looking more specifically as the body of Christ as inward. I know that Pastor has set the tone for this year to be the work of the evangelist. That's the body of Christ going out and reaching and seeking the lost. But the instruction that I want to mostly focus on today is our inward working inside of the body of Christ. So the first point I want to look at is, in our opening text, we notice the word edify kind of pops out of a few times. And what is edify? What is the edifying of the body? Well, edify is to either instruct, improve, or guide each other, right? And so Proverbs 27:17 says that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, this is also Paul giving more instruction. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And then Romans 14:19, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify one another. So you see here in our opening text, it says, you know, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some ministry, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And you say, well, I don't have necessarily a pulpit ministry. I'm not playing an instrument. I'm not a praise singer. I'm not getting up preaching. And I may not even be up in one of the classrooms teaching kids. But that does not mean that you don't have a ministry to be working in. It does not mean that you don't have an edifying ministry. Every single one of us, if we're here following after the Lord, seeking his word, seeking to grow ourselves, right? We are seeking out our own salvation through fear and trembling. But if I'm doing that, even though I'm not up here preaching or speaking to anybody out here, I'm still part of the body of Christ. I still have a ministry that, hey, I just bump into you in our casual conversation, say, hey, I was reading this the other day, and what do you think about this? You know, so Brother Shannon, if you're reading something and you're like, wow, that's a revelation, then you come and say, hey, Nathaniel, check this out. Look at this. So you sharpen each other. Or you say, I'm reading something, and I'm like, you know, I'm not understanding that. I'm not getting it. So I can go to someone else and say, hey, I've read this, and I'm confused on it. Can you help me? We will strengthen and grow each other in that manner. But also, just the plain, normal workings inside of the body of Christ, right? So even though that I may not be communicating directly with someone on a regular basis, my life, me following after God and doing what God is instructing me to do, I'm living it as an example. And I can't tell you how many times I've had people that I do not communicate with on a regular basis come up to me and say, hey, just to let you know, I don't comment on anything on social media. I don't do any post, but yet, hey, I wanted to let you know I'm watching to see what you're doing and I'm following you because I'm interested to see what's happening in your life. In fact, just recently when we went up to Minnesota, Winona, Minnesota, where I moved here from, is a little tiny town that just about everybody knows everybody. Especially if you've been there a minute, you know people. And so if you go out into public, you run into people. And one particular day I took Charles out to go sledding. And I ran into a guy that I used to do competitive shooting with. He was out walking his dog. And I hadn't talked to this guy in years. It's been at least since I moved down here, which has been about 8-9 years. But I saw him walking. I was like, hey, Luke, is that you? And he's like, he looked over. Nathan? I don't go by Nathan, but that's what he calls me. Nathan? I was like, yeah. He's like, what are you doing? And we had small talk, but he did that. He said, I just wanted to let you know. That he said, I know I don't do anything on social media, but he said, I do follow you. And he even acknowledged my wife and family, confirming that he's been following me closely. So even though that I'm not communicating with him, it's a perfect example of my living the way I should be living. Because, yes, I want to make it to heaven, but at the same time, my life is being an example to people that I don't even realize are watching me. And that's not just me. I'm not glorifying myself. I'm giving an example because I guarantee you, every single person in this room, there are people watching you to see what kind of an example you're making to see, hey, do they have the real deal or is there something else? So you are edifying not only one another. Because, I mean, even, believe it or not, that happens inside this right room right here, is we look at each other and say, what is Pastor doing? Oh, okay, well, if he's doing that, I better do that too. You know, it's true. So the edifying of the church, and there's also a corrective stage. So if Pastor sees me doing something that's out of line, and this is a key, is edifying in love. His pastor can come and say, bro, I want to check in on you on this. I want to feel this out. Are you all right? Or, hey, you need to make a correction. Shift what you're doing. Change your angle because I'm afraid of where you're going. So there's edifying in that manner of correcting. But and I know a lot of times we say, well, who are you to judge me? God is the only judge. And that's true. God is the only righteous judge. But at the same time, God also instructs us to correct each other, sharpen iron, sharpeneth iron. And if you know, when you sharpen a knife, iron sharpening iron, it's removing material. And it's a painful process if you're the edge getting some things removed, but it's for the bettering and perfecting of you, as our opening scripture said. Now, to go along, to tie in well with the edifying side of things, we have unity, right? And right away in Acts 2, you know, we always go to Acts 2:38 for salvation, but right away in Acts 2, verse 1, it says that they were all joined to, on the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, what does one accord mean? It does not mean a Honda. We joke about that. It's like, oh, there's a Honda in the Bible. But no, it's not the Honda Accord. It's they were in all one mind and one accord, meaning they had all joined in the same thought, in the same spirit, in the same process. Now, I guarantee you, in other aspects of their lives, they were probably not all on the same page. There may have been some different political views inside the room. There may have been, oh, I don't know about you, but pineapple does go on pizza. And others that were like, well, you're not going to heaven if you do that. But at the same time, in that moment, they were in one mind and in one accord. They were joined together saying, hey, we've been made a promise. And I'm going to stick it out. I'm going to stay in this room until that promise is fully come. And in Psalm 133, Peter kind of, in my studies, it looks like Peter wrote Psalm 133 referencing back to Acts 2 verse 1 and says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Sade, you prayed that scripture Tuesday night. And when she prayed, I was like, oh, confirmation's coming on. God's talking to us. But he's saying, hey, we join together in unity. And the promise of the Lord was poured out upon us. That Holy Ghost anointing ointment was poured out. So if we join together in unity, God will do things through us, for us. He'll strengthen us, but he'll also do miracles and signs and wonders inside of the body. And Also, as we grow through unity, it will kind of put us into a place of, if I'm already joined to you in unity, then that edifying can happen more freely. Because if I'm not joined to you in unity, in one mind and in one accord, you coming up and saying, hey, you know, you should probably not do that, I might react differently and say, I don't know who you are. But if I'm joined to you in one mind, in one accord, in one spirit, and you say, hey, there needs to be a shift made, I'm going to be like, my ears are going to perk up. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to move. The edifying and the unity has to be together. Now, I'm going to take a look at Mark 3:24-27, which is going to be the opposite of unity, as if a house is divided, if you will. And this is Jesus talking. They kind of accuse Jesus of working with Satan, and this is Jesus' response, but he says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So believe me, the scriptures, I'll encourage everybody to kind of go through the full chapter of Ephesians 4 and also Romans 12 is Paul giving directions on the body of Christ. But as you go through that, unity isn't something that just magically happens. It's something that has to be worked on, right? It's kind of, in a way, a marriage, right? A husband and wife, you fall in love, you get married, but it doesn't just stay pink roses and unicorns. You have to work on that unity to make sure that it stays strong and stays thriving. So in the unity in the body of Christ, we have to continue to work on it, to strive for it, so that we can perfect our edification. And believe me, Satan will come in and try to instill that division, but the Bible also, Jesus kind of gives some insight here too, is on the reverse side. If I want to be effectual going out into the world and doing God's work, I need to bind the strong man, and then I'm going to spoil his house. I'm going to take back what's rightfully God's into the kingdom. And we will see in the ending of our opening text, it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So the body will grow. And then we'll also move on to a third point, is love. And love really is interwoven in everything. Love, you know, the phrase love conquers all. This is truly where it's at. And in John 13:35, it says that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And no, I'm sure most of us here are well aware, but it's not talking about a romantic love, but a brotherly love, an uplifting and holding of each other. So if I'm seeking unity and if I'm edifying, it's not in spite, but it's because I love you and I want you to be perfected. If I'm having someone come in to edify me, it's in through love. You know, pastor's coming to me, it's going to be in love. It's going to be for the upbuilding of myself. It's not going to be, oh, I'm going to slander you and try to tear you down or make a sight out of you. It's, I want to help you out. And in 1 Corinthians 13:1-7, we see a good kind of description of what is love. And it reads, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Let's pause right there. He just said that even though I've got the Holy Ghost, I don't have love, I'm wasting my time. He says, even though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and knowledge, and I have all the faith, so much faith that I can literally speak to any mountain, say, be thou cast into the sea, and it goes. If I don't have love, I literally have nothing. And kind of brings my mind to the point of where there will be some that said, I did this and this and this in your name, but Jesus says, I never knew you. There wasn't love. There wasn't a relationship going on. There's a whole lot of action, but not relationship. So he says, and though I continuing on verse 3, says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So even if I'm giving, right? So in the temple with the widow with the two mites, you have guys coming in giving heaps and heaps, and it's more of a show of, look what I just did. They don't have anything, but the widow gave everything out of love for the master. She had something. So even if I sacrifice myself to be a martyr, but I don't do it in love, I have nothing. It says, love suffereth long, and it is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That's a lot. That's a whole lot. To suffer long, but it's not easily provoked. That thorn in Paul's flesh, he suffered a long time. But he didn't allow it to provoke him to anger towards God. But he understood that, hey, this thorn is perfecting me. This is an edification that God has given me. There are some things that may gnaw at us. But yet love will endure. Say, you know what, this isn't exactly what I want. It's uncomfortable. But you know what, I love, and therefore I'm going to endure. Here. And it envieth not, so I'm not going to be looking to see what can I get from somebody. It's not proud. It's not haughty. In both chapters that I gave us, everything is looking towards someone other than myself. Everything is looking towards, I want to build you up. I want to be the best for you. I want to help you in whatever way I can. And it's not for me. And really, it's not even necessarily for you, but it's for God. I want to build the body. I want to edify the body. I want to join the body in unity through love for Christ. So if we have love, if we go through every one of these steps to to bear all things, to believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things, rejoicing in truth through love and unity and edification will be helping the body. The fourth point that I want to look at is restoration and slash healing. It's our church's namesake is restoration. And in this, I thought of an example where if I'm doing work like a manual labor, say, I'm building something. Yesterday, Charles and I were outside messing around with some hammers hitting on wood. And say, I'm sitting there building something and nailing it together, and I miss the nail and I hit my thumb. Now, immediately, there's going to be a few things happen, but right away, there's going to be a pain that starts in my thumb, but I can tell you, if you've ever done this, it doesn't stop at your thumb, but it's a pain that you feel through your whole body instantly. Now, if one of us in the body is hurt, the pain will be felt throughout. If we are following the love, if we're following the unity, the pain is going to go throughout and it's going to hurt the whole body. But what is the next step that immediately happens after I smashed my thumb? The other hand is going to go and grab that thumb and try its best to nurture it back and restore it to completion. Right? Now, my whole body feels that pain. My whole body wants that thumb that was just crushed to be healed, to be mended, to be brought back into full function. Here's an irony for you. This member over here is the one that caused this member pain. Both members were doing what the body was telling it to do. This member was holding a nail, and this member was swinging a hammer, and it was working towards the same goal of building something. But inadvertently, this member damaged this member. But as soon as that pain was felt and realized, the member that did the crushing is the member that is trying to do the healing and restoration. There's hurts that can happen within ourselves. It's not intentional. Trust me, I would not smash my thumb intentionally. I would not hurt myself in good conscience and well mind standing. I would not hurt myself intentionally. But if I do hurt myself, I'm not going to toss my other hand away and like, you kidding me? You just smashed my other hand. I'm going to divide you off and get rid of you. No. I'm going to use that hand that caused the issue to try for restoration. In Romans 12, 14 through 21, it's a section that, as I'll reiterate again, I encourage all of us to read the full chapter of Romans 12, but Romans 12, 14 through 21 says, bless them which persecute you. And then he restates it, bless, not curse. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Don't give evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So, hey, I know this is going to be tough, but live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Or in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So let's look at this. First of all, if someone's persecuting you, bless them. That's tough. If someone is your enemy, and they have wronged you, be a blessing to them. If your enemy is hungering, feed them. If he's thirsting, give him to drink. But also he says here, do not give out a vengeance, or do not seek for wrath, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, if I'm doing this in love, that does not mean that I'm going to go to my enemy or to the person that just offended me or wronged me or hurt me. I'm not going to go to them and say, here, I'm going to bless you, and then go over and say, okay, all right, God, when is the vengeance going to be hitting them? When's this going to happen? I'm waiting for the heaps of hot coal to be poured out and on their head. No. No. If I'm doing this properly, I've been wronged, I've got an enemy, and I'm blessing them with the intention of bringing them into the fold. If they're already a member of the body of Christ, I'm wanting them to be restored. If they're not a member of the body of Christ yet, I'm wanting to be an example to say, hey, I know it's as awful as you are being to me. I want to go ahead and bless you so that you may have the blessings of the Lord in your life, that you may come in and gain that salvation that I have. Jonah kind of went through this in a way, is God said, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh because they're awful and I'm about to destroy them. And Jonah is like, I'm going to Tarshish. And God said, I'm steering you back to Nineveh. But in that time, he repents and he spewed out. We know that Jonah goes and he preaches repentance unto Nineveh. And then he goes up and sits on a hill to watch and wait. And he's like, all right, I'm waiting to see for Nineveh to be destroyed. But Nineveh listened to the word of the prophet. They, all of them repented. And so God granted repentance unto them. Jonah got taught a little lesson toward the end of the book, where God's like, hey, is it not right for me to grant repentance unto these? You know, you're getting angry over a gourd growing up and withering in one night, but you'd be happy to see me destroy an entire people? And it's interesting that even God even gives kind of a nod to the cattle. He's like, you're wanting me to destroy even the cattle of these people for sin, but they have repented. So when I go through a situation, I want to always have the mind of Christ. I'm not seeking to destroy someone. I'm not seeking for that vengeance. I'm not seeking to heap coals of fire on their head. Now, if they choose, that's between them and God. If they choose to not follow after the Lord, if they choose not to take the blessings that are being offered, I can't do anything with that. But I need to have the love working in my heart. In Galatians 6, 1 through 10, we see, says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the world communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm going to pause right here. The scripture here says that God is not mocked, meaning we cannot trick God. If I'm sowing of my flesh, I'm going to reap of my flesh. If I'm sowing of the Spirit, I'm going to reap of the Spirit. So going back to the last example, God knows what my heart. God knows my thoughts. God knows my intentions. He knows if I'm doing something in love, in meekness, in humbleness, seeking for the perfecting of saints, or if I'm seeking for vengeance, if I'm seeking for self-edification, self-glorification, I should say. God knows that. So we cannot mock God. We cannot trick or deceive God. He knows what's going on. So continuing in verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We're instructed to bear one another's burdens. In the beginning here, it also says to be careful, though. So if I find someone at fault, I need to make sure that I'm right, I'm in good standing with the Lord, so that I don't fall into temptation. So if I have a brother that's in a fault, whatever sin it may be, I need to make sure that I am in good standing with myself, so I don't end up just joining them in the fall. But I want to restore. But to restore, we have to be in a right standing. So, in the scripture says, you know, you can't remove the speck out of your brother's eye. If you have a beam in your own eye, first remove the beam out of your eye, then you can help your brother. So I can't really help anybody out unless I'm myself am already right. I need to make sure that I'm right to assist somebody in a fall. But again, in love, we're to restore, not condemn sin or make an example of someone, but to restore them. I'm going to actually go to, I'm going to be closing here. I'm going to read a verse actually out of my Bible. I didn't type it out, but this is the opening scripture for Romans 12. I'm going to look at Romans 12, 1 through 5. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Am I in the right? Nope, I'm not. Like, this does not look right. There we go. They say that did not sound right. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think so soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member of one another. We each have a different role to play in this body. Not every one of us can be a thumb or a hand or an arm or a leg or any kind of part of the body. We all have different parts. Not every one of us is going to be a musician. Not every one of us can be a singer or a preacher or an evangelist, as far as like a Brother Tim Green kind of an evangelist. But we all have a part in this body of Christ. So as I close this morning, let us all just move into making sure that we're edifying one another. We're joined together in unity through the love of Christ. That we're doing everything through the love of Christ. That we're able to restore each other. Recognize that, hey, if there's hurt in the body, we need to heal it. I think as a Restoration Apostolic Church, we've got a good handle on this through things that I have witnessed myself over the past few weeks. But let's not lose that. Let's grow it. Let's perfect it.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.